Winter hardiness of C3 turf grasses varies by species, variety, environment, and cultural practice. Winter hardiness is obtained when low molecular weight soluble carbohydrates dehydrate the cytosol of crown tissue cells. As you can see in this picture, certain turf grass species are less hardy than others and thus more prone to winter damage. Winter damage ensues from a complex of stresses, including cultural practice, temperature, crown hydration, and low temperature pathogenesis. Turf grasses mowed at shorter heights, such as putting greens, are more susceptible to winter damages by winter stress. Extreme fluctuations in temperature can cause crown hydration, which happens when cells in crown tissue freeze and rupture, leading to injury or death. Low temperature pathogenesis refers to the snow molds. Traditionally, superintendents have relied on slow-release organic late-season nitrogen fertilizer applications as to not stimulate top growth, but to stimulate adventitious root growth. However, recent results have shown that late fall soluble nitrogen applications can correlate with winter survival and spring vigor of cool season turf grasses. However, application timing appears to be highly influential. Why? Well, nitrogen applied late in the fall does stimulate chlorophyll production, but not top growth. So in theory, energy can be directed towards carbohydrate production, thus making the plant as hardy as possible. Then we have Trinexpec ethyl. Trinexpec ethyl is a commonly used plant growth regulator in the turf grass industry. It inhibits gibberellic acid synthesis and thus suppresses cell elongation in turf grass shoot and leaf tissue. TE has also been shown to increase chlorophyll content and tolerance to heat stress. However, data regarding cold stress tolerance is limited. So if we combine nitrogen and Trinexpec ethyl, we hope to create this synergistic effect that increases chlorophyll production and increases carbohydrate production, thus increasing plant hardiness and food reserves going into winter. That being said, the objective of my master's research experiment is to determine the optimal timing of fall N applications to C3 turf grasses and the main and or interactive effects of nitrogen and TE treatment on winter damage and spring vigor of putting green systems. My experiment was conducted at the Pennsylvania State University Joseph Valentine Turfgrass Research Center on a cohabited creeping bentgrass annual bluegrass putting green. Here you see a table of the pre-existing soil chemical properties. Everything is considered to be in optimal ranges except for the potassium, which is shown to be in sufficient ranges by a leaf tissue test collected prior to treatment initiation. This table comprises six total treatments. There were two nitrogen rates of 30 and 60 kilograms per hectare that, when applied alone, served as the control for this experiment. There was a split application of TE that was applied half with the nitrogen rate and half 1 week later. These six treatments were applied on four separate dates using a single nozzle wand sprayer and a randomized split block design. All statistical analysis performed using SAS at alpha of 0.05. Here you see the weather data for 2009 in State College, Pennsylvania. The red line indicates high temperatures and the blue line indicates low temperatures, with precipitation being represented by the green bars. We wanted to center these application dates around the first annual hard frost in State College, Pennsylvania, which traditionally occurs on October 13th. In 2009, the first hard frost fell on October 14th, so we came pretty close. You can see the application dates are represented by the black arrows. There it is, at the bottom here. They were September 30th, October 10th, October 21st, and November 1st. One main plot in each block was randomly selected for treatment of snow molds by pentachloronitrobenzene and that served as the main plot effect in this experiment. The split effects of this experiment were timing and rate. After all treatments are initiated, we wait for winter to pass. In the spring of 2010, spring clipping yields were collected on April 6th, oven dried and weighed. Green normalized differential vegetative index readings were collected on the 25th of March and April 1st. We recorded 6 readings per second to give us 18 to 24 readings per plot. Green normalized differential vegetative index is a measure of chlorophyll and thus represents canopy density. As you can see, PCMB, timing, and treatment all had a significant effect. Low versus high N and TE versus split TE versus full TE were significantly different, and timing and treatment did interact. The single line graph shows all treatments averaged across by date. Treatments made prior to the first hard frost were significantly better in regards to spring clipping yields, spring vigor, than treatments made post first hard frost. This graph shows the specific treatments averaged across date. As you can see, the 60 kilogram per hectare treatments were significantly better than 30 kilogram per hectare treatments. It is possible that the split application of Trinexpec ethyl was still being regulated coming into spring and thus reducing spring clipping yield. This graph shows only the 30 kilogram per hectare treatments. The red represents the full single rate of TE and the green the split rate. Applications made later in the fall on October 21st and November 1st resulted in the least amount of spring clipping yields. As I said before, I think that it is possible these treatments were still being regulated by TE and applications made earlier in the year prior to first hard frost may have been experiencing from what we all know as the rebound effect associated with TE when it begins to lose efficacy. This is the 60 kilogram per hectare treatments only, and I would like you to notice the cluster of data points on October 21st, and I would like to speculate that on that in the coming slides. Here, all 6 treatments are observed in a single graph. Now back to this weather data of 2009. Over here we see the days leading up to the October 21st treatment, we had very low temperatures and twice it reached below freezing. I believe that the plants were less metabolically active than any other application date, including my final application date of November 1st, when the days leading up to this application date, we actually had unseasonably high temperatures, and I believe the plants were more metabolically active than they were for the October 21st date. Also, within 2 days following the October 21st application date, we received almost 3.5 centimeters of rain, leading me to believe that any nitrogen that was not immediately taken up by the plants may have been leached and thus was not available for the plants to uptake. This graph, I think, validates that to some extent, seeing 4 out of 6 treatments did have higher fall tissue N content post-treatment initiation on the 1st of November as compared to the 21st of October. However, the highest fall tissue N content resided in those application dates made prior to the first hard frost. PCMB, timing, and treatment all had a significant effect on spring GNDVI measurements. Low versus high N and zero TE versus TE were significantly different, and once again, timing and treatment did interact. This is a single line graph that shows an average of all treatments, and as you can see, the October 10th treatment resulted in the best spring GNDVI readings. This graph shows that any application made with trinexpec ethyl was significantly better than those applications made with just nitrogen respective to N rate. And this shows all six treatments together. And I want you to notice the dip in October 21st. As I said before with the weather data, I believe it is possible that on this application date, the plants may have metabolized some of the nitrogen, some of the trinexpec ethyl, but maybe not all of it. Once again, October 10th resulted in the best spring GNDVI measurements. In summary, spring 2010 putting green canopy density and vigor was directly related to late season N rate. Putting greens receiving N prior to the first hard frost showed greater density and vigor in early spring. TE and N rate did not interact, and a single full rate of TE generally enhanced spring density and vigor as compared to the split TE rate. In the future, I will measure concentrations of mobile and storage carbohydrates in crown tissue samples collected before and after treatment initiation, and I hope that gives me some insight on spring vigor and GNDVI readings. I've also established three experimental blocks on a primarily annual bluegrass putting green system. I would like to thank my major advisor, Dr. Max Schlossberg, the PTC, the USDA, Brad Bartlett and Valentine Turfgrass Research Center, and my committee members, Drs. David Huff, John Kaminsky, and Rich Artica. Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
What percentage of your mixed green of bed grass poa do you have on average, would you say?
I would say it's probably 90% bent grass to 10% annual bluegrass. Yes.
Did you look at your results in terms of how much nitrogen you removed or recovered in the spring?
I do have some data. The question was how much. Do I have any data that shows how much nitrogen was removed from the system? Is that right? I do have that data, but it was not presented here. And most of it's only for fall, but I have it for spring and I don't have it analyzed yet. So that is something that I hope to present next year.
Any other questions?
Yes.
You did report, did you see any extra disease? Any of the treatments?
That's data that we have that is not analyzed yet that I hope to report next year. Yes.
Just one more. So you started off saying that in theory it was applied to nitrogen when the plant's not growing, but actually what you saw was a little bit different, where you got the best results when the plant was still growing, right?
Yeah, that's right. The question was, and I said in theory, after active top growth had halted, then you would think that that would result in the best spring vigor and density. But based on the data I presented here, certainly the applications made prior to the first hard frost were actually the ones that resulted in that. But I hope to uncover more with the carbohydrate data that I will analyze. Yes.
The trinexpec ethyl applications, did you start to see an increase in green color in the fall? How long did it take the color to develop the next spring?
There were definitely differences in plots when you're standing there looking at them in the fall. I can't speculate on whether that was all attributed to the trinexpec ethyl or nitrogen. We didn't take any GNDVI readings or color ratings in the fall. So I can't say for sure that TE was responsible for those differences. Yes?
Well, you mentioned rating greenness and growth, and you're talking about carbohydrate reserves, but are you measuring anything with roots?
I've not measured anything with roots, no.
All right.
Thank you.